So now, at the end of the hour, a reminder of what we're dealing with here. A nationwide government shutdown so a minority voice in the House of Representatives can be heard on an issue they insist represents the majority of the country. Is that how it's supposed to work?
Congress doesn't just have to end this shutdown and reopen the government. Congress generally has to stop governing by crisis. They have to break this habit. It is a drag on the economy. It is not worthy of this country.
President Barack Obama says no, it's not supposed to work this way. Newt Gingrich, though, former Speaker of the House and architect of the last shutdown in 1995, says this is the way it's supposed to work.
People tend to forget this is not, you know, a crisis. The House is elected independently, the Senate is elected independently, and the President's elected independently. This is by design. The Founding Fathers wanted to force, literally force, all three to deal with each other.
Well, what those framers wanted exactly is unclear to us, nearly three centuries on, and it's certainly difficult to say if they envisioned this precise scenario that we're seeing this week. But built into the Constitution is this free society, a delicate mix of rule by majority and the protection of minority views from being overwhelmed by that majority. It's deliberate, but is that tradition being played out here or distorted in some way? Joining me now, Jeffrey Stone. Jeff is a professor of law at the University of Chicago. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Delighted to be here.
I notice you've blogged on this, and without sort of preempting the discussion here, I know you're pretty critical of what's going on in Washington right now, but can you sketch out for us the tradition between minority rule and the protection of minority rights and minority debate in the U.S. Congress and the Constitution for us?
Well, there are many ways in which the U.S. Constitution sets up our government so as to enable minorities to have a reasonable say in the political and legislative process. The entire scheme of checks and balances and division of authority, separation of powers, having Congress, the House of Representatives with two-year terms, more or less local representatives, the Senate with six-year terms, staggered, representing larger political entities, the states, the executive, of course, being elected through the Electoral College. All of these are designed essentially to avoid the dangers of an overbearing faction, in the words of the framers, but majority, perhaps, in today's words. And so the system is certainly designed to ensure that minority views are reasonably represented in the process. On the other hand, it's not meant to ensure that minority views get to dictate the outcome. And so that's a fine balance between the two. And so my own view is that it's extremely important that the government operate in such a way so that the different views are heard and listened to and taken seriously. And it's another thing entirely for a group, whether the minority or the majority, to paralyze the government, to hijack the government in a way that essentially betrays the premises of our constitutional democracy in order to use threat to bring about political change. That, to me, is completely illegitimate.
I'm talking with Jeffrey Stone, professor of law at the University of Chicago. You can see read his views on House Republicans and what he calls the betrayal of democracy at the Huffington Post, where he blogged on this subject. You know, there's been a lot of language and a lot of colorful metaphors. I want to push those aside for just a moment, because there have been people who have said in frustrated tones this week that the responsibility of the government is to function. Now, does it really ever say that in the Constitution, that is the responsibility of all these systems, the executive and the Congress, to actually settle things and move forward? Or is the responsibility to make sure that stuff gets debated and that things get considered in an appropriate way, due process, these kinds of terminologies?
Well, both. But of course, in this instance, there's no argument that can be made in any serious way that there's been an inability to debate or discuss the issues about Obamacare. The bottom line is this is something which the House Republicans have presented repeatedly in the Congress and lost. They challenged the constitutionality of the legislation through the courts, and they lost. In the 2012 election, they made this a central part of their campaign, and basically they lost. They're free to continue to do that. I mean, that's the essence of American democracy. You can argue and keep arguing and try to persuade, and maybe eventually you can win the process. You can go back to the people. You say, throw the bums out. elect enough people who will do what we want to do, and we'll do it. That's American democracy. American democracy is not to say if you don't do what we do, we're going to shut the government.
And we may see in 2014 in the election some voters actually making that point. But I'm wondering if there's an argument to be made that the idea that it is up to Congress to give permission to the executive to spend money, that there's a constitutional question there. That, I mean, there's really nothing preventing the executive from basically saying, no, we're gonna keep the government going. Go away. I mean, there's an authorization process, there's a budget process, but the idea that they can shut things down by this sort of permission business, that could just go away, right?
No, I think not. I mean, I think that's built into the understandings of our constitutional structure, is that the president does not have the authority, except perhaps in a genuine emergency, to make independent funding decisions if they have not been approved by the Congress.
But if it's the status quo, they've already been approved, haven't they?
The bottom line is that the president does not have the legal authority to continue to spend money after this date without a continuing congressional resolution. And for him to do that would raise very serious constitutional questions.
So it would have to be a constitutional amendment, and that's, you know, sort of the line item budget sort of argument that passes through Washington periodically.
Right, or a finding of a genuine national emergency, and I that's not the case at the moment. But the bottom line is that it's simply this: the House Republicans have not been able to win in the electoral process, in the legislative process, in the judicial process. And what they've done is basically taken out a gun and put it to the heads of the other elected representatives of the government and said, if you don't do what we're going to do, we're going to pull the trigger. That's not persuasion. That's not debate. That's not deliberation. That's not the American democracy. That's the use of extortion to coerce change. If there's one thing that we are completely united on in American history, is that the use of coercion to force people to act in a certain way is limited only to those circumstances where it has been legally authorized. And that's not the case here.
Is there a way to challenge the Speaker of the House not calling a vote on this, even though there may be a majority in the House to actually pass it if you add up the Republicans and Democrats? Could that be challenged?
Well, I mean, the Republicans in the House can refuse to comply with the Hastert rule, which is idiotic. Basically, there's no question but that the continuing resolution would pass the House if everybody were free to vote. The problem is that they've tied their own hands within the House.
Right.
And but you know, the double irony here is you can't even say that the House agrees with the House Republicans, right? There's clearly a majority of members in the House who would, left to their own devices, who would vote to move forward.
Now, that's amazing, Jeffrey Stone. We have to go, but thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
His views at the Huffington Post. Jeffrey Stone is a professor of law at the University of Chicago. What do you think about all of this?
This is Marissa from Staten Island, and I think it's the sign of a dysfunctional system. I think it's a sign that the importance of government on people's lives has become too extreme. It should not be too big to fail.
Or from Columbus, Ohio, democracy can be messy when parties become captive to uncompromising ideology. What do you think? Thanks so much for listening to our program. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.